Church Ease. This Sunday, the church celebrates Pentecost. Pentecost is a Church Ease word. It means 50 days. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. Pentecost also marks the birth of the church. I think that's a Church Ease phrase. It means when the church began, the Christian church began, or something close to that. How about this? The Lord works in mysterious ways. That's a churchy's phrase. It means, I have no idea what's going on. I was convicted to say something means, I thought I should say something. The Lord told me to usually means, I thought I should. Well, bless your heart means, you don't have a clue, or there's no way I approve of you. Why don't you pray about that? Often means, you're wrong and you better change your mind. God will protect us without proper safety precautions during the pandemic means, I don't think science is real. And God-pleasing means, based upon my rules, me-pleasing. Why do we have church ease? And why do you think it's okay? And all it really does is tell people who aren't in the know that they're not welcome or accepted. We've been doing it for years. We can take something intended to be inclusive and make it exclusive. It's Pentecost, and it's the reverse of the whole Tower of Babel story. Instead of language being confused, people can understand whatever code there is broken. So whatever churchese there is, or code there is, or unwritten rule system there is, it's gone. Pentecost is the birth of the church and the beginning of the process of dismantling secrets-based and exclusive-based theology. Ooh, that's a lot. And now back to the story. We like the coming of the Holy Spirit part of Pentecost. It may have been scary then, but we celebrate it. How about the other parts? Disciples that looked drunk? Weird and probably unholy things, floating fire, uncontrollable winds, strange languages. There's a lot more than that, too. At the end, all are saved. Not based on any prerequisite or behavior or anything. It's all. Not some, all. And all means all. Y'all means y'all. Everyone. What about people with struggles we don't see or that make us uncomfortable? You know it. We all know it. The church has remained silent too long about mental health. Do we still hold to the awful thought, that idea that mental illness is a punishment for sin? Forget that we don't believe it. Well, because the way we act sometimes says we do believe it. We act as if people who live with mental illness don't have faith enough to be healed, restored, whole. But Pentecost doesn't say that. It turns that on its ear. Seeing flames of fire, a loud wind, hearing other languages out of the mouths of people who don't speak those languages. It's not an hallucination. It's not suited to be afraid of. It's not something for us to turn away from. Here it comes. Pentecost is an invitation to welcome, to include, support, and engage all who live with mental illness. Let's face it, those disciples don't sound particularly well in the story. Yet, God did not abandon them. God did not turn them away. God included them in the building of the early church. They might have had some unusual, we like the coming of the Holy Spirit part, but what about the disciples who appeared drunk to some of the onlookers, right? What of the weird and seemingly unholy happenings that I mentioned? We tend to dismiss them and focus on the good parts. The parts, you know, like we all called on the name of the Lord and all are saved. That sounds better than the holy heads on fire and uncontrollable winds and foreign languages tumbling out of familiar mouths. Some would say that this passage only speaks of God's power and reminds us that the Holy Spirit is a mystery and completely untamable. While this is true, this passage can have a whole lot more to say to us, especially on this Mental Health Sunday. Let's begin with the last part. All who call on God are saved. Did you hear this? I said it already. It means all. There's no comment on right theology, right behavior, right thinking, right living. It also doesn't say that those who struggle with physical or mental illness have no place in the body of Christ. This strange story of the first Pentecost reasserts that salvation, the love of God shown in Christ, is for all people. So, what of people who struggle in ways that we don't like to see, acknowledge, or experience? Imagine what we would say if somebody told us the story of Pentecost today. If someone came into the worship service, maybe in the comment section or when we're back meeting in physical space, and said that they saw flames of fire above their heads, we might dismiss it as a hallucination. If they told us that they heard a sound of a mighty and rushing wind, we might say the same thing. Then if they added that they heard us speaking in languages not our own, we would just shake our heads and turn away, if not back away in fear. And how wrong that would be. Maybe we can consider the Pentecost story as an invitation, because God doesn't turn people away. Neither can we. We can no longer be a people of an exclusive language. We can no longer be a people who shy away from conversation with folks we disagree with. We can no longer be scattered and apart, even though we are meeting in digital space. You know, this scattered and apart isn't about scattered and together. Scattered and apart, just all over the place. We are all in God's family. We are all people who should be part of the conversation. A caring community of Christ for all. A people of prayer and action for all. A beacon of hope, justice, and peace for all. And love is the way. More guns is not the way. Reinstating the death penalty is not the way. Demonizing opposing viewpoints is not the way. Shooting protesters is not the way. Telling lies until people think that they are the truth is not the way. Non-disclosure agreements are not the way. Threats of violent retribution is not the way. Wishing to annihilate your enemy is not the way. Taking away property from others in the name of any religion or some kind of manifest destiny is not the way. Making some people second-class citizens with less rights than others is not the way. Revenge is not the way. Trying to forge a peace through weapons is not the way. A secret language or secret privilege for the few is not the way. Deciding that you want to scold me for getting too political is not the way. Hate is not the way. Love is the way. Think and imagine a world when love is the way. With love as the way, where do we start? We've already started. Let's continue to live into it. A caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And to be a blessing, pray often. Practice peace, lead with love, be joyful, be kind, give thanks, do good, have courage, work for justice, be the light, encourage others. That's the spirit. Amen.